For the past couple of weeks, I found myself drawn back again and again and again to a wonderful volume which William Hogarth published in the mid-1750s, his Analysis of Beauty. And what's really extraordinary about Hogarth's Analysis of Beauty is he keeps returning to music and to dance. Basically, he's trying to impose on the artistic community his idea of the idea that variation is the soul of beauty. In order for something to be beautiful, it needs to have basically wavy lines in it. But listen to this. An old picture, otherwise valuable, must, with respect to light, shade, and colour, be like an air played by a great master on an instrument quite out of tune. Would it not seem strange that prejudices should so far prevail that many numbers, with their eyes and ears open, should fancy they see and hear more harmony for this destruction of colours in pictures and untuned strings in music? Time, by degrees, will unharmonize and totally destroy, yet some continue pretty well for many years. Those of the greatest masters that thus shared the fate of time and thus misled the eyes of their admirers are like fine concertos played on an old organ with battered, broken pipes. Now, saying that in this room might seem a little sacrilegious, but what Blake is saying is that we have to be very careful in confusing the attractive patina of age with what it was the creators of art, whether it's a piece of music, whether it is a painting, which was he specifically referring to, whether it is an instrument itself, the old organ with battered, broken pipes. He's saying don't confuse the attractive sheen of age with what the artist is actually seeking for. And in many ways, I think we, in terms of what we do in the museum and what I'm trying to do in Soundbox, I want to play every single side of that. Because, of course, we're absolutely fascinated with the battered, broken pipes. Because the battered, broken pipes can tell us a huge amount about the trajectory of, say, an instrument's use. Just as, for instance, we can tell a huge amount about the use and storing of this instrument from its wear pattern. For instance, every violinist, every string player will recognize the wear on the back of the scroll there, but how many of us have thought why it is? And the reason is because early cases were end loading, and you loaded the instrument from the end like this, and you slid it along its scroll into the case. And over the course of years of being slid into leather cases like that, that wore down. That way of making cases pretty much stopped around about the 1820s, 1830s. So that bit of wear on the back of this 1698 Strad was probably happened between its time of its making and some in 1690 and 100 years later in the 19th century. So this is a wear pattern which is of that period, whereas this wear pattern here, by the side of the scroll, where you'll notice that there's dirt and mess in the front of the instrument, is due to two things. The fact that this, of course, the chin rest, was a 19th century invention. The first player to advocate it was Ludwig Spohr, and it wasn't taken up widely till the end of the 19th century. Many players, such as Lady Neruda Halle, were not using them, and indeed abused players who used them well until the end of the 19th century. She was even more abusive about pads on the back of the instrument. She would say to her fellow players, "Come on, gentlemen, put on your pretty pin cushions." This, of course, was, if you imagine playing this with your face on the tailpiece and a man there, and with the mid-19th century fashion for bristly beards involved in the varnish got worn away there. Now, a chin rest means that your face is not actually on the body of the instrument anymore. This damage is not happening. So we have damage from the 18th century, damage from the 19th century, which tell us about not just performance practice, but fashion and storage. So that battered and broken pipes, which Hogarth is warning us against, is incredibly informative. But of course, even apart from the fact that this instrument doesn't have its original neck and it doesn't have its original bass bar, much of what we find attractive about the way it looks, such as the fabulously, almost expressionist patina at the back of this very, very dark instrument, the way this has been worn away there, the darkness under the bridge, all of these things which make string players get very excited, all of these were not what it was designed to look like. We are getting excited about something which is, in many ways, rather alien to what the maker was intending to do. This is the destruction of colours and pictures, which Hogarth is talking about. Yet it has become something we find absolutely exciting. Anybody who's seen, there are a number, a 17th or 18th century violin which hasn't been used, such as the Messiah Strad in the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford, or the Niccolo Galliano, which Charles Beer owns, which was basically never played, and I've played on it a couple of times, and you get it out, and it looks, I've brought it into a couple of sound boxes, it looks like a kitchen made about 25 years ago. In fact, by many of our definitions of what is attractive to the string instrument, it is not attractive.